Right, grab your Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 1 as we continue looking at the topic of called out. We've looked at the lives of individuals who have been called out by God and the difference that was made from that. And we're going to continue that this morning. A few years ago, I looked out the office door at my house and I saw this breathtaking double rainbow. Now, this double rainbow was going across the cemetery, and it kind of looked like it was ending here at the church. And when I saw that double rainbow, the first thing I did was, Katie, you got to come see this. And of course, here comes Ella first, because anytime you yell for Katie, she thinks that's her name too. And so here comes Katie and Ella, and they look, and when they see the double rainbow, the first thing that Katie does is FaceTimes her mom and says, "You need to see this double rainbow. This thing is awesome." You know, then we're taking pictures and sending it to different people. It was incredible. It's not often you see a double rainbow, but I mean, it was fully bright, and just the fact that it was going across the cemetery and coming towards the church, it was so beautiful that I could not keep it to myself. I had to share it. And the one that I shared it with could not keep it to herself. She had to share it. What if we had this type of excitement when it comes to sharing Jesus with people? What if we had the excitement like, wow, you gotta see my Jesus. Come see Jesus. In today's passage, we're going to see someone who meets Jesus. And the first thing that he does is go tell somebody else about Jesus. The message of Jesus is so wonderful and so powerful that you and I should not want to keep it to ourselves. We should have this great burden to yell out to people, come and see Jesus. He can change your life. That is a drainage today. John chapter 1, starting in verse 43. The following day, Jesus went to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, this is powerful. Underline this if you underline. Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree," underline this, "I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I told you I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." Let's pray. Lord, I do just thank you for this day. And I just want to take a moment and ask that you would keep this drainage cough away. Thank you for the healing that is coming upon me from all this. And I pray that you would just keep it away so that I could stand up and preach the beauty of your word this morning and say what you would have to say. And I pray that everything that I do say is your words and not mine, that the Holy Spirit of Holy God would simply take over and present what you would say to your people today. And Lord, I just pray that we would hear, that we would receive, and that we would know what you would say to us. We thank you and we love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. And so as we look over these few verses, there are three sayings that really stand out. And the first saying that stands out is the saying, "Follow me." In verse 43, it says, "The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.'" Jesus issues the call. The Gospel of John is a powerful, beautiful gospel. Each of the Gospels has a different emphasis. Matthew was written from the perspective of it was written mainly to Jews, so it comes from the perspective that Jesus is the descendant of David, that is the rightful heir of the throne. Mark was written to Gentiles. Its focus is on the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Luke focuses more on the humanity of Jesus than any other gospel. It has the most detailed account of the conception and birth of Jesus Christ. And John's focus is on the divinity of Jesus, the fact that Jesus is God. And this begins in John in verse 1. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And so we know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus is God. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is God. And so this is the beginning of John. And then in the next section, we see another John, John the Baptist, who, when he sees Jesus, says, "Behold the Lamb." He points people to Jesus. And then we see two of his followers leave him and start to follow after Jesus. Then we see the calling of the first disciples. And the call comes to Philip. And Jesus found Philip and said, "Follow me." We saw this last week when we looked at Matthew, the tax collector. Jesus comes up to Matthew and says, "Follow me." When Jesus issued the call for Philip to follow after him, it was a call to discipleship. It was a call to spend time with Jesus and to learn from Jesus. How awesome would this be? How incredible would it be for us to walk with and learn from Jesus? We do. We get to. Do you know that you and I have the honor and the privilege to walk with Jesus and learn from Jesus? The call to follow Jesus has now come to us. And we are able to walk with Jesus and learn from Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit and the written Word of God. You know, it's easy for us to think, you know, it'd be awesome if I'd be able to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him. Open your Bible and read the Gospels. Get you one of those red letter editions. And you can actually hear the words of Jesus. We get to walk with Jesus every day. We get to hear the words of Jesus. We are called to be his disciples. We are to follow in his footsteps. And as we grow in our walk with Jesus, we should look more and more like Jesus. We are told that we are to take up our cross and follow after him. In Luke 9:23, it says, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me.'" If you are here today and you have given your life to Christ, then you have been called by Jesus to follow him. And we need to ask ourselves, are we on the path of Jesus, or have we decided to get on the freeway of fun instead? What road are we on? Are we following Jesus? Because if you've said yes to Jesus, the call to follow him is still in place. And we are to follow in his footsteps. We are to be the men and women that he has called us to be, to do what he has called us to do. But often, we decide to do things our way. So the first call that we see, the first thing that we see in the text is, follow me. Are you following Jesus today? The The second thing that we see is these beautiful words, come and see. Verse 44, now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. When Philip meets Jesus, the first thing that he does is go and tell someone else. Now, what's incredible about this, this is the second time in John chapter 1 that this has happened. In verses 40 and 41, right above it, it says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard John and followed him. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. So, when Andrew, one of John the Baptist's disciples, starts to follow Jesus and meets Jesus, the first thing that he does is goes and gets his brother. Now, the call has been issued to Philip, come, follow me. The first thing that Philip does is go and get somebody else and says, come and see Jesus. Philip goes to Nathanael and says, we have found the one. And there are three important things to see in what Philip says to Nathanael. He says, first of all, we have found whom Moses in the law. Moses told the people that one day God would raise up a prophet like him. In Deuteronomy 18:18, God is speaking, says, I will rise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. Jesus is the prophet like Moses. Second thing that he says is also the prophets. The prophets told of the Savior that would come and set free the people of Israel. Jesus would fulfill all the prophecies that were mentioned about the Savior, over 300. Both the law and the prophets point to the Savior and show that Jesus is the Savior. The third thing that Philip says is the son of Joseph. The son of Joseph shows us that Jesus is the legal son of Joseph, which makes him the legal heir of David and rightful heir to the throne. So each of these characteristics that Philip speaks to Nathanael is saying, we found the Messiah. We found the Savior of the world. As Philip meets Jesus, the first thing he does is introduce someone else to Jesus. Tony Evans is one of my favorite pastors to listen to and read, and he says, when you're serious about Jesus, it doesn't take long to become a witness for him. And so I wonder if the reason why we're not telling other people about Jesus is because we're just not serious about Jesus ourselves. Because Andrew, hey, Peter, Philip, Nathanael, come here. Philip says, we found him. We have found the Messiah. And so I want to ask, have you found the Messiah today? Have you found the Savior of the world? Have you found Jesus Christ? And I want to ask, what does he mean to you today? Is he just someone that saved you from the pits of hell? Or is he your master and Lord of your life? Did you give your heart and life to Christ simply to get out of hell free? Or did you give your heart and your life to Christ because you want to be something different? You want to be something better. You want to be a follower. You want to be a disciple. You want to walk in his footsteps. You want to look and act like Jesus. What does he mean to you? Have you followed after him with all that you are? Are you trying to bring others to follow him? Well, when Philip comes to Nathanael, first thing Nathanael says is, can anything good? You know, as we've gone on this journey, we have seen Noah build a boat when it had not rained yet. Abraham left all he knows and loves and went to a new strange land. David, the runt of the litter, would become king. Elisha would turn on his old life and begin a new life as a prophet. Matthew would get up and leave behind his financial well-being and follow Jesus. All the people that we've seen called out so far have simply just stepped out and went. Now we get to a skeptic. Now we get to someone who needs a little bit more proof. Nathaniel's more like us most of the time. You know, I need a little bit more information. I need a little bit more proof. Nathaniel says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now, this may not have anything to do with Nazareth. It was a very small town, not very important or anything like that. But what it could have been, and based on the response of Jesus about Nathanael's character, is when Philip said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Nathanael would have known that the Messiah, the Savior, would come from Bethlehem, not Nazareth. And so that could have been the reason for his skepticism, is when Philip said, because at this point in time, they don't know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem like we do. They just know it's Jesus of Nazareth. And so we know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. However, because Herod wanted to kill the child and decided to kill all the babies, the family had to move to Egypt. Then after Herod passed away, they moved back into the land of Israel, but they settled in Nazareth. So Nazareth is not where Jesus was from or where he was born, but it's where he grew up. It's where he lived. And I love the response of Philip. Nathanael just says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And the simple three-word statement of Philip is powerful. Come and see. Often, we try to complicate the message of Jesus Christ. It could be because we add extra burdens on people that the Bible does not have, like the Pharisees who had their written law, which would have been the Bible, and then they had their oral traditions, and they expected everybody to not only keep the Word of God, but to keep all their oral traditions, and they added all these extra burdens on people, like we saw in Sunday school, where they got upset because a man who had been an invalid for 38 years was healed by Jesus and was carrying his mat on the Sabbath. You know, and so sometimes we complicate the gospel by adding extra burdens. We say you must believe in Jesus plus do this, or you must believe in Jesus plus do that. I mean, it could be because we try to shine up the gospel real nice and make it look like something it's not. You know, what we call the health and wealth, the prosperity gospel. Well, if you give your life to Christ, everything will be all unicorns and rainbows and hearts and frilly lace. That's not the gospel. Sometimes we complicate it. The truth is, we just need to show people to Jesus and let him change their lives. We just need to introduce people to Jesus. We cannot change a person's life. We cannot change a person's heart. No matter how hard we try, we cannot change another person. Only God can do that. All we can do is point them to Jesus and let him change their lives. When we tell people to come and see Jesus for themselves, we don't have to try to explain or defend our faith. We bring them to Jesus and let him show the truth. Come and see. Jesus is the one that we need to follow, and he is the one that we need to point the world to. We all need to come and see Jesus. Come and see. Like Philip, we need to invite people to come and see. We can get caught up in our own little worlds that we miss the chance for people to come to Jesus. How easy is it for us to get caught up in our own little worlds? You know, sometimes we need to put down the phone and see people who need Jesus. Sometimes we need to put down our preferences and see people who need Jesus. And sometimes we need to put down our pride and see people who need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. And sometimes we add extra burdens, we add extra problems and extra situations to people that are not biblical. I share the story of something that happened to me once. I was a college student working on my bachelor's degree, and I was attending a church, good Southern Baptist church. And, you know, every Sunday I wore my blue jeans to church. I mean, I was in college. College kids do that kind of stuff. And I had a deacon of that church bring me a pair of khakis and hand them to me and says, "Since you have nothing appropriate to wear to church, I bought you these pants." You think I wanted to go back to that church anymore? But how often is that what we do to people? We add extra burdens. You have to look a certain way, dress a certain way, act a certain way, be a certain way. Sometimes we need to let go of our preferences, we need to let go of our pride, and we just need to see people. And we just need to love them with the message of Jesus Christ. Come and see who Jesus is, and let Him change your life. Follow me. Come and see. And then the powerful statement that we see that Jesus says, the third thing we're going to look at this morning real quick, I saw you. Verse 47, Jesus said to Nathanael coming toward Him and said of Him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to Him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Because before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to Him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." I saw you. First of all, Jesus knows Nathanael's character. As we see this interaction between Jesus and Nathanael, Jesus says, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no deceit." Now, I have to be honest with you guys here today. I always thought this was a sarcastic remark based on Nathanael saying, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" You know, every time I've read this passage, I've been like, Jesus is being a little sarcastic here. Nathanael says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Jesus is like, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there's no deceit." Does Jesus act that way? No. I do. Now, however, we need to understand this is not the way Jesus was. Jesus was actually pointing out the character of Nathanael and what a great character that is. He's saying, this dude is a guy that has no deceit in him. Wouldn't you? How awesome would what? Wouldn't that be awesome to have that said about us? Man, look there. There's Tommy. There's no deceit in him. It shows the trustworthy, incredible character, someone that understood and saw. And it reminds us and helps us to know that Jesus knows the heart of all people. He knows what we think and what we do. He even knows why we do what we do. So every thought that we think, every little thing that we do, He knows. And He knows our motives. We can fool a lot of people with our words and actions, but we can never fool God, for He knows the truth. There are a lot of Christians who are only Christian part-time. Which we know that's not, you can't be a Christian part-time. But there's a lot of people that can come into church on Sunday mornings and they look real good and they talk real good and everybody thinks they're the greatest thing in the world and an awesome Christian. But Monday through Saturday, you have no clue they're a Christian. We need to be Christian all the time. Character is who you are when no one else is looking. If you would not do something in the church building, you should not do something outside of the church building. Again, I'll never forget it. The last church I heard this, I love this lady to death. This little grandma who looked down at her grandkid and said, "Now, you know you're not supposed to lie in church." And me being me looked at her and said, "So it's okay for him to lie out of church?" No. If you wouldn't do it out of church, you shouldn't do it in church, because we are the church. The church is not this building. The church is us. The people of God, the Spirit of God lives in us. We should be the same people in church, at work, and at home. We should be the same no matter where we are. This is character, and God knows our character. Jesus says about Nathanael that there's no deceit in him. What a great character trait to have. Nathanael's response, "How do you know me?" And that's when Jesus says, "I saw you." The words that Jesus now speaks to Nathanael are amazing. "I saw you." Jesus sees all. "I saw you." Even when Nathanael didn't know it, Jesus saw him. This is a powerful truth to us as well. Jesus sees us. You may feel like nobody gets you. You may feel like you are invisible to the world. You may feel like nobody cares or that you don't matter. Jesus sees you. He says, "I saw you under the tree." Jesus knows where we are. We're not a number. We're not just another person. Our Lord and Savior knows us. We matter to him. One commentary says, "Jesus saw both the outside and the inside of Nathanael. Even when we're not aware of it, Jesus sees us. Even when we don't see God, he is there, fully aware of all that's happening. He knows not only what's happening on the inside, but he also sees your heart." It is refreshing to know that Jesus sees the real me. Some people may think one way about me. Other people might think a different way about me. Some people might think, "Well, he's pretty cool." Some people might think he's the worst person in the world. Jesus sees the real me. Jesus knows what's really in my heart. You know, I have a problem where the way I say things doesn't always come out the way I mean them. And that gets me in a lot of trouble sometimes. But Jesus knows the truth. Jesus knows what's truly in my heart. Jesus knows the love and the care that I have for the church that he has placed me in. Jesus knows just how deep the love that I have for you guys are. The care that I have for you guys. The thanks that I have that I'm able to be your pastor. Jesus knows all that. It's refreshing to know that Jesus sees the real me. He knows me. He sees me. And you know what? He sees you too. He knows you. And Nathanael from this sees the truth. He says, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." He knows. He's in the presence of the Savior. Son of God and King of Israel are both titles for the Savior. Nathanael has come face to face with the King of Israel, with the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And I love what Jesus says. Jesus says, "Good, you believe? You're going to see greater things." In the next chapter, Jesus would perform his first miracle and his disciples would believe in him. In John 2:11, it says, "Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee. He revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him." We know the great things the disciples of Jesus would be able to witness. They would see Jesus heal the blind, make the lame walk, and raise the dead. And Nathanael got to be a part of all of this. Philip comes to Nathanael and says, "Come and see." When Nathanael meets Jesus, he knows Jesus is the Savior. And so as we close this morning, I want to ask, are you still being skeptical, or do you understand the truth about Jesus? The way we follow Jesus shows the answer to that question. Let that sink in. Are we still skeptical about Jesus, or do we understand the truth? And the way that we live our lives shows the answer. If we only act like Christians on Sunday mornings, then we're still skeptical. And we don't understand the truth about Jesus. Because when we understand the truth about Jesus, there's a fire that's let loose in us, and we have no other choice but to say, come and see Jesus. Let me show you Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed his precious blood. Jesus sacrificed his life willingly so that you and I could be free. Come and see. The call to follow Jesus is a wonderful call. The call came to Philip and he followed. Philip went and found Nathanael, and Nathanael followed as well. What matters most in life is, are we following Jesus? The invitation to follow Jesus first is an invitation to salvation. Have you given your heart and your life to Christ? The invitation to follow Jesus is second, a call to service. Are we his disciple? Or are we following in his footsteps? So what is God saying to you today? Are we following Jesus? Are we bringing others to Jesus? Do we understand that Jesus sees us? Lord, we do thank you for this beautiful passage of Scripture. And we thank you for the call of Nathanael. And we thank you for seeing that it's okay to be a little skeptical, but we need to get over that skepticism and surrender completely and totally to the call of Jesus Christ in our lives. And I pray that we would do just that. I pray that we would be a people that follow Jesus in salvation, that we would surrender our hearts and our lives completely and totally to him. And I pray, secondly, we would be a people of service. Lord, it breaks my heart to see good Christian people who are not serving you in any capacity in any way. And I pray that you would help us to see that we are called to serve. We are called to make a difference. We are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We are called to go and tell. We are called to share. We are called to tell people, come and see. We are called to be the men and women that God has called us to be. And we are called to get up off of the pews and do something for Jesus. And I pray that you would help us to do that. I pray that you would help us to be the men and women that you have called us to be, that you would help us to be the church that you have called us to be. And I pray, awesome Father, that you would allow a revival to break out in this church like never before, that you would set our hearts on fire for you, and that fire would burn from one person to the other, and that the community would see and the community would get involved, and that we would see people come into faith in Christ. We would see people being baptized. We'd see people joining the church. And I pray, Lord, that you would set this place on fire for you. Rain down your Holy Spirit on us like never before and set us free to do the work of Jesus Christ, to do the work that you have called us to do. Help us to step back. Help us to get out of the way, and help us just to follow Jesus. Help us to let the Holy Spirit of Holy God put his foot on the pedal, and we'll just get in the car and ride. Amen. And I pray that you would move as only you can. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We give this time to you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. As we have our song of invitation, hymn number 463.